Hey, gang, welcome to this exclusive unlocked episode of The Nexus.
We're going into the vault for this one?
We're going into the vault, baby. It's the dark days of summer. A little treat for the yet-to-subscribes, as we call them.
You let them out? We're supposed to keep them locked. They're fucking dangerous animals.
Sorry, dude.
You're God infected.
Damn it.
It's infected.
This Too late now.
Shit. Well, we realize we never previewed The Nexus before. No. A lot of people don't know what it is, but this is a side Star Trek podcast we have on Patreon where we review an episode of TOS and an episode of TNG back to back, and you will see within this episode you don't have to be a Trekkie to understand it.
Yeah, we're all vague. I mean, like Eric, Andrew, and myself are all vague Star Trek fans of varying degrees.
Yeah,
and Chris just hates the whole franchise.
Hello.
So yeah, like this is, we don't get too in depth, and actually sometimes people are like, "Oh my God, you didn't mention that this episode was written by," and I'm like, "I don't know, my eyes just glazed over."
Yeah, I know very few Star Trek writers, but that's not, you know, that's not the point of this show. It's not an in depth. Whatever, you know, there are shows like that out there, and
they do great jobs.
That's, you know, their bag. This is way more of just watching stuff, having fun, and recapping it. You know, and this is one of those episodes that you can get if you are a subscriber to our Patreon, which is again patreon.com/wehatemovies. This is at the $8 level, which also gets you 4 commentaries a year that you can sync up to films, as well as access to our Star Wars program, the Gleep Glossary.
That's right. That's an episode where Eric tells us about a character of Star Wars from the Essential Guide to Characters.
Right.
And we kind of go through that. That's at the $8 level. But what you get, Patreon goes at the, you can give us $2. If you just want to give us $2 just for fun, you get a Big Daddy Dispatch, which is a newsletter that's written by all 4 of us, where we do some movie reviews and kind of answer some questions and also recap the show and do some promotion. It's just, that's more like a nice little add-on. Like,
sure.
And you also get to know what episodes are coming up in the next month.
That's right. It's an essential guide in and of itself.
It's very important. If you want to watch along and plan your month, you have it right there for you.
At the $3 level, you get Animation Damnation, which is an animated sideshow. We've been doing this that was for free a while. It wasn't for free, then it was for free again. Now it's definitely not. If you've been following the show for 10 years, that's been the trajectory. But yeah, it's just a show where we talk about a 30-minute cartoon for about 30 minutes. It's like, we've done DuckTales, we've done the Rambo cartoon, we've done...
It's a big reminder of how batshit crazy the 80s and 90s were as far as cartoons go. Because, yes. Yeah, we have the heavy hitters like DuckTales, right? But, like, this month, we are talking about the Japanese export cartoon Noozles that I was obsessed with as a child, which is just, like, it's all the drugs. All the drugs went into making this cartoon. So it's a combo of both.
Yes, exactly. We go through all that stuff. At the $5 level, this has been what we call the We Hate Movies Prime level. By the way, as these levels go up, you get everything beneath them.
That's in the previous tier.
Yes. So at the $5 level, you get what we call We Hate Movies Prime, which is just an episode of We Hate Movies that is given to you at this level. That is exclusive on Patreon. We used to just regular We Hate Movies episode. We've done stuff on Ready Player One. We've done stuff on National Treasure Book of Secrets that's out right now.
Oh, yeah.
We've done Bright. We've done Man of Steel.
All sorts of really shitty movies.
But Chris Cabin, what are we doing in September?
In September, we are going We Love Movies.
Yeah.
In the love in the place.
Oh, I want to kiss them.
Yes.
Not just for this month, though. From here on out.
Right. That's right.
These eps are WLMs, and we're kicking things off with Martin Campbell's GoldenEye. Holy shit. That movie. And I love that episode. It was fun to do.
Yep.
And at the $5 level, you also get access to the back catalog. If you ever wondered, what were the first 100 episodes like?
Well,
you'll see.
Really rocky.
We've been doing this show a long time. I think we've gotten into a groove now.
Exactly, yes.
But that's why it's all dubbed at one level, $5. Mm-hmm. You get the whole fucking lot.
Yeah, take it, dude. It's the We Hate Movies garage sale.
And the top tier is that $8 level we told you about, which the Nexus is a part of, and you get everything we already said just now.
Yes, that's exactly. Right. And on top of that, you also get the commentaries, which Aaron said, which we've done a lot of great movies. We just finished the Twilight Saga. The entirety of the Twilight Saga has been watched in real time on these commentaries. It sucks. It's a lot of fun. We've done Power Hours. We did the Independence Day commentary. A bunch of stuff. Just check it out. You'll love it.
So all this And I was about to say and more, but no, that's literally, we told you everything. So patreon.com/WeHateMovies, check it out. And for the, one last thing, Columbo, what do you got?
Just one thing, ma'am. This episode of The Nexus we're about to preview is a year old. So that shows you the breadth of stuff you're missing. There's a ton of Nexus out there.
Oh, yeah. We've done, I think, 35 Nexuses and like 35 Animation Damnations.
There's a ton of shit. Yeah.
And like about 24 episodes. There's a ton of content on there.
Totally. So go see for yourself, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. And now enjoy this episode, this trial episode of The Nexus. Space Seed and what's the other episode?
Skin of Evil.
Skin of Evil.
Tasha Yar goes goodbye-bye.
That's right. The oil monster. Look out for that. All right, here we go. Here's The Nexus. Enjoy. Step into the Nexus with us, summer Patreon subscribers, because this is indeed the August Nexus, and we are here, the whole gang in studio.
Oh, wow.
Hi.
Hey, we're a gang.
Steve's looking a little incredulous right now. What the fuck is your problem?
I just can't believe that this is what the slate is this month. It's kind of crazy.
It's nuts.
Like, people will... I imagine someone out there is like, they must have rigged it. It's impossible to rig.
No.
We had like months off, and or like we did a couple of their listener quest months and stuff.
Right.
That fucked up the order. We kind of also fucked up the order by doing both
the cage
of the,
and then the menagerie is separate. Yeah.
Exactly. So all of that stuff, like, and it just so coalesced. So now we are doing both these episodes back to back.
Two.
And it's nuts.
Historic. Star Trek episodes back-to-back. So let's get into it. The first one, of course, as always, Star Trek, the original series. The episode in question, Space Seed, original air date, February the 16th, 1967.
Chris, is this your first time watching this one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is for those not in the know, Space Seed is, of course, the origin of Khan Noonien Singh.
Yeah, I did recognize it because it does have a similarity to the plot of Into Darkness.
Yeah,
right.
It kind of does.
Having his population
and Wrath of Khan,
specifically Wrath of Khan as well.
So tell me, did you like this episode? Because if you didn't, I'm going to punch you.
I feel like I shouldn't say I did because it will sound like I'm scared of you punching me.
Chris Cabin loves getting hit.
I did like it, but it's not because Chris. Your fist was going to come at
me. A lot of people
His
tell
fist
me.
Fist was going where?
We'll bend over and I'll show you. But a lot of people tell me I'm very intimidating, so it's okay if you're intimidated.
Who are you not talking to, like third graders?
Calm down, go. Cobra Kai. I really liked this episode.
I did too.
This might actually be my favorite TOS episode so far.
I would agree with that.
So now on to the next one.
All right, so TNG, we got a good one. After the jump, here we go.
There's a great thing at the start of this episode. You guys notice Captain Kirk being a bit of a dickhead right here?
You're going to have to narrow it down.
Okay.
How out of character.
He's more, okay, more specifically, he's being kind of a snippy bitch.
Okay.
Because what happens is, like, they're floating around in space, and he's like, oh, we've received a distress call, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, right.
And so Uhura is like, Captain, this sounds like 20th century Morse code. What they're saying is, and he just goes, we're reading it, Lieutenant. And you can feel the whole bridge crew, like their assholes all clenched, like, God, that guy's a fucking dickhead.
it's going to be one of those days. Fuck, I should have swapped out shifts.
I know. It's so uncomfortable. He just snaps at her for no fucking reason.
Why don't you get some coffee, O'Hara?
Just a total fucking asshole.
I will say, one of the best parts of this episode, you got a full fucking cast for once. Uhura's in it. Yep. Scotty's in it.
Scotty kind of a big role here.
Yeah, Uhura has some things to do.
Yeah, she gets punched in the face a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's what you want. No, so it's, they got this thing, and is this when Spock is like, where him, Kirk and Spock go back and forth, and Kirk's calling him an asshole kind of a thing? He's calling him a robot again?
Well, it's something about, because they discover that the ship, it's the Botany Bay, it's from the 1990s, and they start, like, getting into, you know, Spock's like, oh, this is kind of from your time in history when you guys were animals.
Jim, I've heard about this. The 1990s, that's when Carson Daly ruled the airwaves.
And my favorite band, Limp Bizkit, was playing.
They were climbing the charts of TRL. I was thinking about taking up with a band called Coal Chamber.
Oh, wow.
I was gonna
deep
go
dive. Holy shit.
Wait, so Siska, did you watch this on DVD or
I watched it on Netflix because I was lazy, but... Yeah. I've seen this episode a ton of times. I can't tell you the differences off the top of my head, but if I'm going to guess, is the special effects were worse.
Because I was wondering what the ship would look like at the Botany Bay, like what that whole thing would look like.
Yeah. I mean, that's how the Botany Bay always looked, but I think in the original version, it was made out of a bunch of milk cartons that they painted a grayish brown.
Okay.
They get the ship like in the tractor beam and, you know, kind of pull it in because... It's a weird... McCoy is like... It's something about like, there's nothing here, but actually, oh, it's like they expected us. I'm seeing a little bit of heart action. And they're like, all right, well, I guess that's... Is that something? Should we investigate that action?
Well, if we look at all these posters, there's a bunch of train spotting posters on the wall. It had to be the 1990s, Jim. Oh, look at this, Jim. There you go. It's a treasure trove of Kevin Smith memorabilia.
Do you smell clove cigarettes?
Hey, everywhere. Jim. What was in Marcellus Wallace's chest? They opened that briefcase there, Jim Boy. What do you think was in there?
They turn on the lights and it's black light. It's like from the game, but it has Spice Girls wannabe all over the wall.
Fuck, that's terrifying.
Well, hello, gentlemen. If you would like to be my lover, you'll have to get with my friends. Cause making love forever. And Superman never ends.
I'm going to stop you right there, Buckaroo. How about you do the Macarena? Because I'm Bones and I'm a racist.
Hey, you green-butted Vulcan. Oom bop, 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 bop. Dip-a-da-doo-a. Oom bop.
I'm going to rip your head off.
Oh, my God. So they discover, like, oh, wow, the Botany Bay, it is a sleeper, like, travel ship.
Yeah, the cryo sleep deal.
Which is something that was discontinued by the year 2018.
Yes.
2018. No more suspended animation.
No, right. we're stopping it. It's a failed program. It's a bad deal.
Suspended animation is totally fake.
It's a bad deal. You go to sleep, you wake up 60 years later, and your daughter's not hot anymore.
Khan and his people, they're bad news, folks. They're just bad news.
I'm stronger on Khan than anyone ever has been.
Khan Noonien Singh
is a great leader. His people love him, and he's great. And I talked to him for 2 hours behind closed doors, and there was no one there, and it was great.
But first things first, they bring along the ship historian.
Oh my God, the disdain Kirk has for this woman.
She has to be Irish because it's Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
It's Star Wars.
It's Star Trek.
Oh my Lord.
It's a little late in the night, everybody.
Twitter just fucking exploded.
Bite your tongue.
R.I.P.D. Twitter.
Her name is MacGyvers.
Yep.
And
she's making a lot of shit out of paper clips and bubblegum.
I will say
eating a potato the whole time was very odd.
Even though this is a classic app and I think it's fantastic.
Yes.
This whole thread is a weak point.
Totally
it,
right.
It ages like a fucking like a bad fucking potato in your goddamn fridge.
Well, what the idea of like a starship having an historian? That's what's got to
Like the way that this character kind of is written and the way she kind of falls under his thrall.
Well, she's so horned up for the 1990s, man.
It's so just could have been anybody.
I think I you know.
Oh my God! Anyone it's Fisher Stevens.
Exactly.
Why do they call him the plague?
oh my! Oh yeah. Sick Hacker's Wrath.
It's like Demolition Man, you know? You got the Sandra Bullock character, and that character as well just wants to fuck the dude from the 90s.
Sure. But this is what's funny, though, is like we are so many years away from that. Like, we are told that Khan and his people have been asleep for 200 years-ish, yeah, right? So, yeah, like, this is like people who want to fuck like Civil War reenactors.
That is definitely a thing.
Yeah, oh, of course, because it was all about heritage. I understand. But it's just, it's not so much like, because I was thinking it at first in terms of like, you know, we have nostalgia now for like the 80s and now sure, the 90s,
but,
honestly.
But yeah, that's, so are they going to be like looking for people who like are wearing Echo and Levi's? Big cool dog t-shirts when like yeah,
historians in Star Trek looking back at
yes,
the past.
Yes, 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 right.
They're gonna get fucking horned up looking at the Jenko jeans and everything.
Oh fuck, that would be awesome.
I don't, you know.
I took her out. It was a Friday night, Jim. I wore cologne to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants and then I turned on the TV. And that's about the time she walked away from me.
Well, here I am, Captain, doing all I can, because I am a Superman. I tried to sleep.
Jim, Jim, I'm feeling like a freak on a leash.
But so,
how about this one, Jim boy? Ball with the ball, da bang, bitty bitty, ball with the ball. What's with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they got a front?
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
A million peaches. Peaches for me. I am a Georgia peach.
She's lump, Jim. She's goddamn lump. It's in my fucking head, you green-blooded Vulcan.
Oh wait, the eugenics wars.
It's yes, closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.
Time for you to go out to the places you may be from. Father of mine, where have you been?
Sex and candy.
Walk around in circles. Walk around in circles.
Oh man. Oh no.
It's the super bonbon, super bonbon.
Jim, you want to see my candlebox tattoo?
No, I do not. Bones.
Okay, so they're superhuman.
Oh, super right. Human.
I want to loop back around to what Steve was saying about the,
MacGyvers?
Them treating Spock like he's subhuman or whatever.
Sure.
Because Khan was able to take over the planet in the 90s, and then...
What did they say? His reach was from like fucking the Middle East through all of Asia is
something
what he controlled?
Like that. Yeah, everywhere. 40 nations fell to these supermen.
Jesus Christ, there's like 20 of these guys.
And, well, there was apparently 80 that were unaccounted for at the end of the eugenics war.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And those are the ones apparently that were shot into space with Khan, or you know, maybe less than that.
Right.
And Kirk and Bones are like admiring this
it's
dictator.
The weirdest shit in the world. Kirk, Bones, and Scotty's also there dipping his toe in this,
this
fucking
what,
hero worship.
This is what Spock's like, what are you talking about?
Right. And fucking Kirk is such an asshole right here because he's like, listen, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, basically he says like, we can admire this dude's accomplishments but also like hate his guts. And I was like, hey, no. James Tiberius Kirk, what's your feelings on one Adolf Hitler? That dude certainly conquered a lot, you weird fuck.
Oh, I'd love to meet Hitler. I mean, the guy was great. He had the numbers he put up. You've just got to respect it.
He had some good ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if they... if the war didn't happen, he'd go down as he would be remembered so fondly the way he turned around the economy of Germany.
I mean, that's what we're doing here. Just yeah. They're jerking off to these dudes. And Spock's like, stop it.
Like, say what you will about the rest of them, but you gotta respect Rommel.
Yeah, exactly. Spock is like horrified right here, and they're like, you're such an idiot, Spock. You know what, Spock? If you have to ask, you'll never know.
they go on the ship. They find the cryopod that has Khan in it, who's played by wonderfully by Ricardo Montalban.
Absolutely. This wig that he's got on, though.
Well, they tried to make him. I don't understand why they even bothered. I mean, because it was the 60s and it's all quote unquote interchangeable.
Sure.
Why they made him a Sikh makes no sense.
It's really, really weird.
Because it's just a fake Superman from like the end of the 90s, which is 30 years away. He can be Mexican. You know what I mean? Like, he can be, or even Latin American.
Like, are they trying to like say, like, oh, he's like multi-ethnic or something? But it's like, yet Star Trek is portrayed as pasty Irishmen.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're trying to do with this movie.
Thank God we got all those Sikhs out of Starfleet.
Yeah, maybe it's like the other, like...
But they do treat it like that. Like, oh, the Sikhs were proud warriors. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's so bizarre. I think it was a thing where, like, they didn't know what...
They didn't know what they're talking about. Yeah,
it's like, what would be a nation that, or you know, a group of people that might become something? But obviously, they're not going to stay that way because you know, us white dudes are going to be ruling everything anyway. So yeah, Sikhs.
But the best part is like the cryopod starts to fail or something because they tripped the Candlebox Protocol, and they the way to get in, Kirk breaks this. It's held this dude for 200 years. And it's one pane of the thinnest glass. Like, he used his elbow to pop it.
I don't get that at all.
He should have something here.
He really gets in there super easily.
They get him out. He's dying. They're like, oh, they actually keep calling him a casualty, which is kind of cool. They're like, oh, we're going to beam him aboard and we're going to fucking dissect. He's going to die on board. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just got one casualty. Get the fucking torpedo bay ready so we can send him back out just as quick as we got him in here.
What's our sunglasses cases situation? The incredibly large sunglasses cases you see at the end of Wrath of Khan that we shove Spock into.
Yeah, they're stuck.
I am not a pair of Oakleys, goddammit.
Someone say Oakleys. Oh, fantastic invention from the 1990s.
Reminded me of the great music video that my favorite band, Limp Bizkit, made for the soundtrack to my favorite film, John Woo's Mission Impossible 2. What a time to be alive it must have been.
Metallica also penned an original tune for the motion picture. It's called You Disappear.
Fuck, Kevin, nice.
It's illogical that a franchise would last from the 1996 all the way to 2018.
You know, the best part about Metallica in the 90s. Now, Jim, if you remember this, if you remember that Unplugged that Alice in Chains did, where they wrote on their guitars, friends don't let friends get friends' haircuts. Now, that was about the Load album, how Metallica cut their hair. And like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Bones?
Jim, may I bring to mind one of my favorite poets and just say, give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
Oh, you want to take my picture, Vulcan? Is that what you want to do?
I don't know. So, whatever.
It's a fucking bottomless pit of awesome.
They get him on. They get him on the fucking ship. They start to revive him. And immediately, by the way, the second she sees his sleeping body, MacGyver's is like, oh my God, I want to fuck this guy. And
I think she's a necrophiliac.
I will throw my whole body, my whole career in the toilet. I will ruin my life and everyone else I've ever met for this man.
And she starts low. She gets a haircut, new hairstyle. Yeah. She's trying to impress this dude.
That's a weird thing when she like visits Khan in his quarters.
All of these scenes are weird.
And he's just like, why is your hair up? And she's like, I don't know, it's comfortable and fuck it, I'm at work. And he's like, yes, but what about down?
Yeah.
And she's just like immediately into it. Like, she's gonna throw her whole career away.
Do you know the Rachel? Could you possibly do that?
Yes, he's like it's your bangs that go into your face a little bit, but the hair comes out. It's kind of almost like a mullet. It's a little bit of both. It's almost like the shaggy dog on top of your head.
And then you have the nose job.
I mean, Mandelbaum's great. I mean,
he's awesome. Fantastic. I can't get over the wig, and there's quite a bit of generous face paint going on here.
There's it's brown face. It's pretty much brown face.
Yeah, it's bad.
And is this a fake muscle suit he's wearing?
That's a great question. I don't think so. Yeah,
is this all Mandelbaum?
I think he's fucking jacked, dude. I think he's a fucking Adonis.
But I think it's a thing where everybody else on this show was just so heinously out of shape.
Yep. Like, sure.
Even William Shatner was like kind of smaller, muscular-wise. And Mandelbaum was just like a dude that was in great shape.
Sure.
You put this motherfucker up against James Doohan. I mean, no contest.
Oh, yeah, come on, please.
No fucking contest.
James Girdle Doohan.
That's a great point, because like so many of these guys are like wet rags, like bones. Come on.
Oh, I mean, with
you could blow your nose and it'll fall over.
With Scotty, it's like Hercules fighting the Pillsbury Doughboy.
But Kirk comes to visit him, and like immediately, like there's this tete-a-tete going on.
Bit contentious here.
But Kirk is so fucking stupid. He's like, "Well, Captain, can I see all the controls and plans to your spaceship?
What the fuck is this shit?"
And he's like, "Well, yes, certainly. I'll get you a library card and get you the resources. Here's my just use my login. It gets you all the privileges."
He says something about like, "Oh yes, like the ship schematics are open to everybody.
Yeah,
with a viewfinder. Well, what the fuck are you doing?"
Well, I mean, that makes sense. Everybody who's gone through Starfleet,
yes,
sure.
Everyone who's a crewman of their ship.
Yes.
Not a war criminal found adrift in space.
Thank you very much. Can you also show me the what you use for explosives here? I would also like to know about that.
Where is the self-destruct button?
Like, it's so fucking dumb. Like, they didn't offer this shit up to Harry Mudd. guy was thrown in the brig immediately.
But Harry Mudd doesn't have like 2,000 kills under his belt. And Kirk's got a bit of a.
It's like 2 million for Khan.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a schoolboy crush on him.
That's actually true. Do you think, like he's just so hard for this fucking war criminal that it's like, whatever you want, I'll get it to you twice over?
Because you know what happened? Is that he was like, I would like to know, life. Is like a box of chocolates. and they were charmed so deeply by this.
Oh, Jim, I know this one. And then he meets the president again. don't mind me, sir. Please go on with the story.
Jim, get him some Dr. Peppers. That'll put him right out.
Oh, I wish the holodeck was invented so we could be sitting at a bus stop.
And then it's my favorite part of that story, Jim Boy, where they do the right thing and they villainize the Black Panthers.
And then he beats the Chinese at their own game, ping pong. Which is what I thought was a Chinese name at first.
Excuse me, I'm a bit of an amateur historian myself. So you're from the 1990s? Do you know how the fuck that movie beat Pulp Fiction? in the Oscar? I mean, it's eons ago, but my goodness. And how the hell did Do the Right Thing lose to Driving Miss fucking Daisy? I mean, I spit on the ground when I think about
that. That is what kicked off the eugenics war.
Dude, the eugenics wars just started with fucking Khan Noonien Singh throwing a fucking garbage can through a pizzeria.
It was an Oscar party gone awry.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
He was arrested at a premiere for The English Patient.
Dude, it was Khan at an Oscar party at Danny Aiello's house.
Sounds right. Danny, you're a shoo-in. Danny, the movie you put out is beautiful. It's a wonderful movie.
No, you should definitely play Jack Ruby. wise career decision.
So, I don't know. So, like, he gives him all the schematics. And, like, this is when, like, and again, I do think this kind of sticks out of the sore thumb. Like,
yeah.
These scenes where, like, he's, like, breaking this woman down. It's really uncomfortable to
go
watch.
Go or stay. But do whatever you wish.
Yeah, it's this weird, like, super almost, and she's like begging him to stay.
It's so weird, and you can totally like just flip that voice, right? And just be like, "Come on, babe, do whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
Stay or go.
Yeah.
But it's your decision, because I'm a cool, supportive boyfriend, and don't worry about it."
It's a bit off-putting. But she, there is this great dinner scene. They take Khan to dinner. Guess who's coming to get dinner?
It's what? And the fucking spread. This is awesome. Like, they walk in, and Bones like, my God, look at the spread here, Jim boy. Oh, you're really rolling out the red carpet. You didn't even do that for the Admiral last week. It looks like a pretty great fucking spread, yeah. I will say. It looks awesome.
And
looks delicious.
They sit him down, and like, every time, like, Kirk is like, so who the fuck are you, and where do you come from? What is going on? What's your whole deal, mister? And he's like, well, I grow very tired, Captain. Could I also, buy whenever you get a chance, can I have your nuclear launch codes?
That's what's fucked up, is like, listen, when you bring a potentially nefarious person aboard your starship, invite him to dinner, and he's being like very coy about stuff.
Yeah.
And like, then when you put the screws to him just the littlest bit, he's like, oh, I grow tired.
Yeah.
That dude's crooked.
Yeah, sure.
That dude is immediately announcing himself as being crooked.
They don't put security on him until like the end of the episode. Yes. It's like
until he's turned the fucking historian to his side anyway.
I don't want to be rude.
But yeah, this dinner scene is, you know, it's not more tete-a-tete, good tete-a-tete between Kirk and Khan here. And, you know, it's basically like, oh, well, all of dinner conversation is just combat disguise.
Oh, that's a great line, too. Combat in disguise. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
It's brilliant.
I was just getting wet looking at it, dude. I mean, like,
it's an amazing episode.
So he has a great line. He says to this historian, he's like, I'm going to take over the ship. Do you agree? And she's like, okay, that's great news, Khan.
Yeah, and she's like, my boyfriend. So she, they also.
Eddie Valiant.
Oh, a classic film. Hey, so they wind up, they do unleash all his people, right? That's what happens.
Yes.
Too?
So what she does, and so this MacGruber here, MacGyver's, excuse me.
Sure.
She goes to the transporter room, knocks out this dude. They secretly beam over to the ship. They wake up everybody else on the Botany Bay, bring them all back, I believe is the idea. Then
it's like, kind of like that part in Demolition Man when Jesse the Body Ventura shows up.
Oh, that's right.
When they said, like, let's get the whole gang back together.
Fuck, you're totally right. Demolition Man screenwriters ripped this right off.
Mm.
Yeah, and then, like, because he's read the entire goddamn user manual, he knows, like, he locks them all on the bridge and he starts depleting the oxygen.
This is there's a scene between this when they actually discover who Khan is, and that's when, like, this is when Kirk is like, Khan, Noonien Singh. And he goes through the whole thing, his whole stats. And everyone's like, yeah, he's terrible, but man, the murders. Like, they're all just like, they're just the chuckling about, like, all of the shit this dude did. And Kirk's like, well, I will put one fat Irishman on his door. That should solve it.
And it's great because when he's doing there, he's like, he gives that order and he looks at Spock like, there, are you fucking happy now, you big baby?
Look, no one is tougher on Khan than I am. I put one fat Irishman on his door.
I'm going to push you way around.
Look,
well,
Jim,
I will.
Jim, you have to do more than that. He smells scrumptious.
So yeah, like they take over engineering. They all pass out.
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, Kirk is giving this, like, goodbye address.
I take full responsibility. I had a murder boner for the genocides.
Totally on me. My eyes were totally, totally on the wrong part of the prize here. I totally botched this one. Well, look, there's nothing. All of a sudden, the Enterprise is filled with knockout gas. There is tanks upon tanks of knockout gas.
The Joker is on board.
Because first thing, they get knocked out, and then Khan takes over the ship. He puts everyone in a room, and this is when he starts slapping around Uhura, and it's like, ooh, that's a little bit weird.
It's not Khan, it's just some beefcake.
Oh, that's right, it's one of his dudes.
One of his other supermen.
He's like, hello, Ramon, or like whatever this dude's name is. And this dude's beating the shit out of Uhura, and then it's fucking MacGruber steps in, and she's just like, can you please stop hitting this woman? Yeah. I will go get you what you need.
Well, it was kind of like structured like, do I have to watch this?
Yeah.
Like, no, you could go take a walk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she just asked to be excused from the assault.
She lets it happen. Though. You know what? She's complicit.
Take five, listen to Weezer's Pink album. I think it's going to change your life. Or Bigger Ton. Bigger Ton, I apologize.
Bigger half ton. Japanese girls do it to me every time. Oh, the red man said you shred the cello, but I'm Jello, baby. Look, don't touch. Don't look, don't think of me. I'm the epitome of public enemy.
All right, you know what? That guy, that one guy, he's all right. Everybody else, you know what? Everybody else I would like to kill. I would like to do, crush them, but that guy is all right.
Watching Pink Triangle, honestly. Watching Grunge leg drop New Jack through press table. And then my heart, Jim, well, it starts listening to Coco saying.
Well, actually, no, what you call it? Kirk is inside of a weird compression chamber.
It's something that I think I saw in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Like the pressure's like amping up or whatever, and he's going to like pop like a grape.
Because that's his thing, is like Khan is like, everyone must join me or I will kill the captain. And everyone's like, no, because the captain doesn't want that anyway, blah, blah, blah. And MacGyver's like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk. This is when, and then like, Kirk is presumed that it's like, and you are next, Mr. Spock.
So right.
He takes Spock into the chamber. MacGyver has turned the tables around, and Kirk gets the drop on one of Khan's goons, and now it's Spock and Kirk doing this. And this is when the knockout gas is like, knockout gas. Floor is 5, 10, and 12.
Lawrence, engage.
it's just nothing but knockout. If there was always knockout gas, use it every episode.
Oh, no. Well, you know what, though? You couldn't, because knockout gas don't work on no god people.
Good night, Chip. Bye-bye. just Kirk gassing everyone. No, you have to be in your quarters. Go to sleep.
It's bedtime.
And then you've got to deal with the guy who actually deals the poison, the knockout gas to the fucking fleet.
Oh, dude, that guy's sketchy.
Oh, you don't want to talk to that guy.
He's a tweaker.
He's like a sub-carny.
Need to re-up, hey?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Take 10 loads. Put it in the back.
How about some poisonous gas this time?
Yeah, sure. What the hell?
So Khan like runs to engineering and he like deactivates the gas there, and that's how Kirk knows where he is. Scotty's like, oh, gas is going everywhere except engineering, so it must be there. Fucking great thing right here is like Kirk pulls a phaser on Khan, and Khan does like the gun bend.
If he's bending guns, he should break Kirk's neck.
Bending
in
guns,
seconds.
E breaking necks.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, because sort of like Superman, like how he breaks General Zod's neck. Like, yeah. We all know
exactly
all
right.
But Kirk's. It's a fun fight. You on this Blu-ray quality, man. You will see some stunt doubles shine.
Oh, absolutely, dude. It's outrageous. There's
in standard def 4x3 television broadcast signal. You'll see those stunt doubles.
And one, the fucking Khan stunt double, man. He's got a goddamn huge bald spot. It's outrageous.
So they're fighting. It's a fun fight. And
Kirk beats him to death with a pipe almost.
Well, this is the thing. Is Kirk amazing. He's using like little like I'll chop you here, there.
Yeah,
here.
Little kicks too.
Ha, ha ha. Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha, good, yeah.
And then, like, Khan just, like, body slams him 4 times, and Kirk's near death, and he's like, you have no chance of winning because I am so damn strong. And he's like, yeah, but a pipe.
So he's knocked out, and then they have this, like, bullshit tribunal. Here's my one beef. I love this episode. This wraps up a titch too neatly.
It wraps up insanely.
It's
also
it's like
that.
A mutual respect. It's like, because of the genocide, I'll maroon you to a planet,
but it doesn't.
You could build your empire there. Like, what are you helping this guy?
Just kill this guy.
ISO cubes,
or just put him in Star Trek jail. You've sent other people to Star Trek jail before. Be like, you know what? It's the Federation's problem. It's like, well, you nearly destroyed my entire ship and killed. You were about to kill me, but mutual respect here. By the way, hey, MacGyvers, you want to stay in this weird, abusive relationship? Hey, do you want to do that? Like, he's like, would you rather a court-martial or literally live in hell for the rest of your life?
Well, it's a weird thing, too, where they're like, so what the fuck are you doing? And Kirk is like, you'll appreciate this. It's from a poet I read once. It is better to rule in hell than serve in heaven.
But it's also like, this is the exact opposite of the Prime Directive, right? It's like instead of not fucking with cultures, you're putting a despot on a fucking planet.
Totally.
And just seeing what happens.
Yeah.
And also, I just realized, by the way, because I was sitting here thinking that last Kirk that you were doing mm-hmm. was getting a little Sulu-esque.
Oh, sure.
No Sulu in this
oh,
episode.
Oh, you're right. That's right. It's not a full cast.
Yeah, so we've not a full cast. Fucked up again, goddammit.
This is how you get Ego the Planet.
Like, yeah, Kurt exactly. Russell?
Yeah, this is how this happens. Shit like this.
Well, we all know
I'm
that, you know.
Fucking the planet. I've become it.
The space seed, and now it's got my face.
Yeah, space seed.
My son, he's very handsome with his raccoon friend.
Well, this is what happens.
I impregnated his wife outside a Dairy Queen. Which is very 1990s of me.
He winds up, there's a great Spock line, which is the last line of the episode, which everyone's like, oh, you weird Vulcan. He's like, well, I shudder. He's like, well, I shudder to think. I was doing Bones for a second.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Well, I shudder to think what's going to happen in 100 years after that rotten seed you just planted.
Yeah, like, but he's more on the nose because he's like, we'll have to revisit this in 100 years and see about that seed or whatever. And it's like, don't worry. It's actually going to take less than 20 years for this to fucking come back around and bite you in the fucking balls, Jim Kirk, you fucking idiot, because you couldn't goddamn send this motherfucker out into space like you should have. This dude will go on to kill your biological son. So how about that, fuckface, you arrogant prick?
Did I just get called fuckface?
No, he doesn't kill his son. He kills Spock. His son is killed by...
Oh, the Klingons kill him. You're totally right. Well,
that's
he kills
why he's
his best
Klingon
friend.
Hatred. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He kills his best friend.
Sure.
Which, I mean,
just stop some tweets. Just trying to stop some tweets.
But
here.
I think, to be fair, that whole series of events is because Khan comes back.
Absolutely, that's very true.
Dominoes.
Totally. So, listen, folks at home, when you get the opportunity to shoot someone into space who's a fucking biologically engineered supermensch, fucking do it.
Or even if they're not. If they're just someone. If you have an opportunity to shoot someone into space, you should do it.
Yeah, I would do it.
Airlock that fucker.
And then it's just kind of unceremoniously they're dumped on SETI Alpha 5 and
amazing episode,
great more or
episode,
less. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean it's warts. There are warts, but it's a lot of fun. It's the best episode we've done thus far, and it leads to Wrath of Khan, which is the best Star Trek movie.
Well,
yep.
Absolutely. The character has presence, like
yes,
that,
yes.
And I don't think a lot of other characters.
Yeah,
that they've gone up against.
Mud did not.
Any of the god people.
The military people.
Clint
when they
Howard.
Crossed over. Yeah, not that as well.
He's got some gravitas, and he's like fucking giving it to everybody. He's a little too good for this show, and he knows it, and I love it.
And then he winds up, you know, back, you know, and then 82 or whenever the movie comes out, and he's fucking awesome again in that movie, man.
Yes.
Well, he's acting circles around all of them.
He's a check on Shatner too. You can tell Shatner doesn't like him being on the set with him.
I think you're totally right.
It's a perfect villain then.
Yeah.
So coming up next on TNG, things heat up a little bit there as well with a oily, gross, weird thing.
Jesus.
Stay tuned. We're back on the Nexus. The episode in question for The Next Generation is Skin of Evil. Original air date, April the 23rd, 1988. Mm. Indeed.
Mr. Data, they used to call rubbers skins of evil.
Hey, Mr. Data, tip for when you go on shore leave, buddy. Wrap it up. Better put on a skin of evil.
Or, I don't know. Do you robots get down like that?
Well, Captain, I am fully functional.
I hate wearing skins of evil. It doesn't feel as good.
All the same, get the lamb skin.
Lamb skin.
The authentic experience. You're not truly human until you fucking a lamb skin.
Oh, but gross.
Not so, the free ones they give away at the bookstores. No.
Little penis sock.
So what we're doing, which is great, is we're picking up Troy. She went to a conference.
Right.
And there's this great line. It's like somebody talking to their elderly father, and Picard is just like, oh, well, won't it be wonderful to have Deanna back? And then, like, Riker is like, yes, it certainly will, Captain.
You two like sexual intercourse together, don't you?
Oh, you think he's having a little bit of fun with it? Like, oh,
he absolutely
oh,
is.
Oh, you probably wish you she was here. You probably missed her, Takisha.
Exactly, because Riker is like, there's a big old smile on Will Riker's face, and he's like, it sure will be. And yeah. Picard's like, oh, I bet you're excited, you little horn dog.
Is that a picture of her on your hollow desk?
Hollow desk.
So we finally get, and it's almost odd. It's like, hey Tasha, what are you up to? And there's like some regional fucking martial arts tournament.
So fucking funny. Yeah, the All Valley's coming up.
Totally. Worf is like, so Tasha, are you ready to take on the Cobra Kai or what?
See, you're being very insensitive. This is dirty talk.
Oh,
in Klingon.
Shit.
Oh,
they're getting it down.
It's fucking awesome, though, because he's like, who was your first opponent? And she's like, I don't know, that dude who works at the barber shop.
Terry Silver? Oh, boy.
And then he's just like, oh, you could easily dispatch with that pussy. Who's next?
I'm Worf, and I want to know the entire combat lineup.
Like, you know, Worf, we got other shit to worry about. So Troy's ship goes down on a planet.
Yep.
And we have to investigate. We get a
Vagra 2, which is a little too close to Viagra for my taste. Not that it was invented at the time of the show. I'm just talking about looking back.
So
we must take off to Cialis.
Oh, yeah, dude, planet Cialis, the fuck planet.
You know, the great thing about that planet is... It's all day. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's just whenever it's ready when you're ready.
It's crazy, man. Like, the planet Cialis is ready. You could be, like, painting something. You're, like, painting a shelf on a ladder.
You have a painful boner that lasts, like, 7 hours. You have to call the doctor.
Surprising amount of hammocks.
Oh, yeah, dude, because it's all, like, that fucking weird, like, Kama Sutra sex swing shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what all those commercials are. It's like, oh, he's in a tub. You know why, man. They're doing fucking sex tub.
And hammocks are, like, the test.
Oh yeah, dude.
The test kitchen for a sex swing.
Yeah,
boy,
dude.
By the way,
swinging, man,
you want a quick 2 steps to a broken neck? Fucking a hammock. I'll see you later.
People dare to imagine the possibilities. They do it all the time. I'm not saying it's safe. I'm not saying you should do it. But people fuck in hammocks.
Yeah.
People fuck anywhere.
When they reboot Final Destination, seek us out.
Oh, yeah, dude. Sexual Destination.
Oh, done. It's all done.
It's all dying from sexual consequences.
Also co-starring Tony Todd, which is weird.
So...
There's a weird thing where they're just with the martial arts tournament again for 2 seconds, where it's revealed that, like, several members of the crew are gambling on this tournament.
Oh, wait, oh, yeah. I missed that line.
Because, like, Worf says something, and she's like, oh, that's right, because he's like, the ship's pool says that you're favored, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, but you guys are gambling? You placed a bet on me? And
no,
he's like,
I'm talking to the pool. It is a sentient being now.
People fucking pools also. That, too, is gross.
There's chlorine up your urethra.
Mr. Data, you still owe me for when I put Geordi in charge and the ship didn't blow up. So before we go on with Worf's fighty fight...
Just gambling.
You're in the red, mister. But it's crazy because Worf... Again, I think Hammond's right. I think these are fucking words because he's like, it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
just like you're getting fucking laid tonight, Worf.
So they go, it's an away team to find out what happened to Troy's ship.
Right.
It is Crusher, yep. Riker, Yar, and Data.
Correct.
Is that the four of them?
Correct.
That's correct.
Yep.
And there's a puddle of goo, and they're like, well, that's just nothing. We'll walk past this puddle of goo. And I was actually kind of curious, are all these, and it's a dumb question to ask, are all these puddle of goo effects original, or are they updated puddle of goo effects?
Ooh. I don't think that the next generation Netflix shit has updated effects. I don't think
because
so.
Could someone fucking, you're listening, you know better than we do.
Comment below.
And by the time I think about this and leave this apartment, I will not check it. So tweet us.
It moving...
Yeah.
With them when they first come there, when they first land.
It moves.
Yeah. That I think might be that up, seems a little effect, that seems
yeah.
a little
it's like, yeah, it's like dancing around a little yeah. bit. It's like this oil streak, and I'm just thinking, like, is this Bob from Twin Peaks?
Oh, oh right.
Fuck, that's it right. Looks, it actually does. It looks the best when it's physical effect, where you can actually see.
Yeah, good when it's just them, goopy yeah. shit.
I Goop. Like it when it's a dude covered in oil.
Yes, that's I think kind it's actually of the pretty best. Chilling
it's,
looking.
Yeah, it's
a goo ghost, as I was calling
so,
it.
So, as you know, this
Chris
is...
Chris Cabin stars in Goo Ghosts.
Oh, shit, that's what happens to all those sperms when you waste them, you know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. Like they become goo ghosts and they don't become babies.
Oh my fuck. God, so dude, many goo
there'd
ghosts.
Be an army of goo ghosts after yeah,
sounds right. like the foreword to fucking Mike Pence's autobiography. They could, they could very easily invade Manhattan.
Oh my God. Shit.
But
better
so
late than
fill
never.
The streets.
This is the
it's a river of goo ghosts.
Yeah, the last that. Episode of Denise Crosby, she had asked to be relieved of her contract because she just didn't like the show. She didn't like the way her character was written, which is totally fair because they never gave her anything to do. But to be fair, they gave nobody anything to do in this first season.
No.
You had I to mean, write it out. You had to write it out.
I mean, you're going to do what you're going to do, and it's whatever. And, you know, this is 30 years ago, so it doesn't yeah. matter. But, like, jump in the gun.
Mm.
I mean, and you can kind of tell there was maybe a whiff of that because she pops up in later, like a later episode is like her sister
well,
or
mean,
some shit
the fans
or altered dimension or something.
Fans went nuts because she was a popular character. Like, again, there weren't that many tough women
it's,
ever
yeah,
seen on television.
It's a tough woman fucking chief of security. I was going to say she, you know, sticks it out different, you know, different dimension.
Uh-huh.
Terrence Howard also decides, I'll take the first contract. I'll do what Denise did.
Suddenly a lot more convention paychecks.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. She's doing fine convention-wise, trust me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, anyone. They'll fucking see anyone.
Yeah, dude, Mott the Barber makes appearances.
Fucking, I think I saw someone getting an autograph and photo with Mop Bot. The cum jizz wiper upper for the holodeck.
But she is very quickly dispatched by this goo ghost, yeah. by this puddle of oil, and very unceremoniously. And I think that's a little bit of a fuck you. I think it's a you want out of your it's a reference that people listening will get, but no one in this room will get. You know, it's Kawhi Leonard. He wants out of the Spurs now. Oh fuck you! You're gonna go to Toronto. We're not. You're gonna want to go to the Lakers. Yeah. No. Fuck you! You go to Toronto. It's like, you went out? Yeah, well, we'll give you a teary farewell. You get fucking killed by mud in the first 9 minutes.
But then it's kind of great because this is, it's a dud of a crusher line.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those.
I know, but this is particularly bad because she actually gets to be kind of awesome
later
in,
on,
in like the next scene. But like right here, it's like she's doing her little, I'm waving a fucking, it looks like the water filter in my goddamn Brita system.
Yeah.
All these Star Trek like medical, technological, whatever's. And then she's just like, she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead.
It should be.
Buy my book.
It should be.
Well, she's been Gorbachev'd across her face.
Yeah, I don't know what this mark is.
It's supposed to be blood because she goes flying or whatever. Yeah. But then what's weird is, yes, that's sort of unceremonious. But then like Picard's like, no, get everyone the fuck back up here, please. We'll start over.
Wait, hold
Thank
on.
You.
A puddle of what?
Get everybody, get the fuck back
Wait
up here.
Wait a second. We can die. I thought medical technology.
Now wait. Was it mud or was it an oil? I need specifics here. I have a dead fucking person on my hands.
Oh shit, the brass is gonna be here, man. We need to get our story straight. What, she slipped on what? No one was drinking today. Data, put erase your logs. No one was drinking today.
Haven't you been watching this show? I'm going to be on the High Council soon.
Captain, it is against regulation for me to wipe my database.
Look, no one needs to know about brunch. It was fine.
And look, this little joint I have on my lip, suddenly it's in my mouth. And no one is the wiser.
Data, you know, I could break you in half if I wanted to.
I'll melt you down right now like your favorite goddamn movie, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, you fucking metallic piece of shit.
Well, Dr. Crusher's blood alcohol level is 2.3, and I feel like if it was less, she may have been able to revive Yar.
That's what's awesome, though, is like they beam her directly to sickbay and whatnot, and you have an actual like emergency room scene
yes.
on Next
yeah,
Gen.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
But she is like zapping this dead body's brain, yeah, man, because right. it's basically like put these like
neural whatever the fuck, you know, it's a headband, yeah, basically. And this dude's like just cranking up the voltage and she's like 70, 80.3.
Yeah,
90, and this dude's like waiting for her temples to start smoking.
Meanwhile, two ensigns are like, "Yeah, so they beamed Yar immediately back to sick day. Remember when Minetti died on Yargis 4 and they just left him there? I don't remember that shit, man. Minetti was a good dude.
Well, look, we're gonna turn her into cat food."
They really pick and choose the dead that they mourn on this show. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, there is a moment right here, because he's one of the greatest actors that ever lived. Patrick Stewart like walks into sick bay and he takes it like it's Picard looking at what's going on.
Yeah.
And the look that he gives is like a general like, "Oh fuck." And like it's an actual actor's look and not a ham-fisted whatever everybody else does on this show most of the time.
So we get into a conference room. We're trying to figure out what's going on. And like,
Worf gets a sick promotion.
Yeah, like, "Well, nice. Worf, congratulations. It's been a long time coming, buddy. You're great.
It's an exciting new role that just came on board about an hour ago.
I was going to do this, but it's a little early."
And then immediately Worf's like, "Yeah, I'm not going down there to confront the oil shadow. I'll be better served up here."
It's a weird piece of cowardice that kind of goes unremarked.
No, it's a thing. I think Picard is fucking with him. Like, he's testing him right here. Because Riker's like, "All right, we're going back down. Mr. Worf, let's go." And he's like, "No, now I'm the chief security officer. I would be better served here monitoring whatever the fuck." And Picard is like,
"Well done, Mr. Worf. You passed.
Come on out here, Yar. She's not even dead." Oh,
"Well, this is a great introduction to the martial arts tournament."
"Let's do it, everybody. Everybody get your geese on. It's going to kick off now."
"Oh, Wesley, get out here. Does this look familiar, Worf?" "Oh, it was Wesley playing the oil monster the whole time. Happy birthday, Mr. Worf."
"Oh, and by the way, Q doesn't exist. It's just Randy. Come on out, Randy. Hello, Picard."
Dude, there is a fucking Randy character here, and I don't know how much longer this character is for this show, but this goddamn Chief Engineer Lynch.
Yeah. Oh. They just needed to have Geordi in that position. That's where they're going, and that just needs to happen.
Very stuffy.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like, you know, Scotty was like the chief engineer in TOS, and he's a character.
Yeah.
So, like, you would think, okay, well, a position to fill on this starship to make a character is the chief engineer. This motherfucker's in, like, 5 episodes, and he's a fucking flaming bag of dicks in every one.
Well, it's like a rotating cast of nobodies.
It's always been this Lynch guy.
Oh, it is always, okay.
Yeah, he's repeated, and it's like, what are you? Who are you? What are we doing?
So, I mean, put anybody there. I don't even need it to be the chief engineer. Put fucking even the dreaded Wesley there.
Oh. The dreaded Wesley, look out. That's a move you don't want pulled on you.
So they go back to the planet, and this oil slick starts talking all sorts of bossy brass at them. It's amazing.
Here's a question. This is a legitimate question I have, because we're told later in the episode that this creature basically...
The skin of evil.
Yes, the titular skin of evil. He's basically a plot device from Ghostbusters 2. Like, he's all the bad vibes from the planet that, like, came together, and it's all the hate and whatever, and made this thing,
it's
right?
It's like the Venom stuff. What is that? That symbiote?
Yeah, the symbiote stuff. Yeah,
is that what this is?
No.
Well, it's we're sort of told that, it's, like, made up of evil and whatever.
It's just a goop. It's just a goop that can get on Spider-Man and make them evil.
Exactly. So my question is this. If that's what this thing is, how does it know what the Wizard of Oz is?
Yeah.
Because this thing is calling Data Tin Man left and right.
What is more evil?
Well, Tin Man, what do you think? That's pretty cool, huh? Isn't the Wizard of Oz the most evil thing Earth has made? Therefore, I will call you by it.
I mean, it's that's the thing. I would be so. It would be so much easier for me to enjoy this episode if it didn't. If this oil slick thing didn't sound like the cigar baby from Roger Rabbit when he got old.
Well, he's like fucking with Deanna there, Deanna Troi. Like, basically, right. That's the thing. It's like, and like, it's kind of because this thing is kind of just an internet troll come to life.
He totally is an internet troll.
Because they go down to the planet and they're like, "You didn't even register on our doohickeys." He's like, "Oh, I didn't register on your doohickeys. I guess I'm not a person, huh? I'm not a person.
Oh, I'm not a person, Tin Man. How about this? I'm going to start a fucking Twitter campaign to remake The Last Jedi. Fuck you.
Snowflake.
Snowflake. Look at these. You guys, you're a pedophile. Sorry, dude. Just found out you're a pedophile. Look, Mr. Tin Man's a pedophile.
But the interesting thing is, the only way to get rid of him, which I think is actually the only way to stop internet trolls, is just to get them some therapy. Because like that's every scene with Troi, she's just like, "Oh, you're so sad." He's like,
"No, everyone else is sad. These movies just suck so much. And they're feminazis." Like,
"You're just really lonely, aren't you?"
"No, I'm not. It's just these feminazis are destroying manhood. J.J. Abrams is to blame for everything." "No, I don't hate my mother. I hate Rian Johnson."
Or more like Ruin Johnson. Which is, someone did tweet at me about Ruin Johnson.
Oh, man. Take a long walk off a short pier, fuckface.
Yeah. It just, that's what this is, right? It's this guy who's just like, just totally a nothing and lives on bile and shit.
Which is why it's fucking great, because like the end of this episode, because of course Daddy's got to come down, Picard's got to come down and fucking see it for himself. The kids keep fucking it up. One of the kids is dead, and he's like, "All right, fine, I'll fucking go down.
Didn't
and see to it that this get thing gets
my
talking
house
to
slippers." And who is stealing my paper?
Well, no, Riker gets.
Yeah, didn't he?
Riker
get
gets
eaten?
Gooped
yeah.
up.
Oh, dude. Right, I forgot about the goopening.
That's
pretty
beautiful.
Great.
And if the best bit
spits
of trivia.
Them out, though.
The best bit of trivia is this thing was made out of, I think it was Metamucil and like printer ink.
Oh.
And
the only thing worse is if you said printer ink and horse cum.
LeVar Burton went up to Frakes afterwards, like, "Dude, I wouldn't have got in that." Like, he was like, "I don't know what the fuck, you know, dude, you should get another show on PBS or something, because I don't need this shit." Like, they asked me to go in Black Goop. I'm like, "Nah, dude, I'm cool."
"Picard, did you hear there's gonna be a female predator?" Me.
The most haunting image in this episode is when
you know what the most haunting image is, Picard, is that She-Ra doesn't have a rack. I mean, like, what? Everyone's supposed to be androgynous. I mean, femininity's got hooters.
Look at those Thundercats. Show me a place I can put my dick in those Thundercats.
I want to fuck the boss baby. That's more right. Attractive than your She-Ra.
That's right. You do want to fuck the boss baby, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's okay. Let's explore this for a second.
No, you're the pedophile. You eat at that weird pizza place.
No, I don't.
You,
now you're
you
lying.
Like pizza. Fuck you, Counselor Troi. I'm going to get you fired for decade-old tweets you already addressed.
Listen. What I'm going to do is give you some small things you could do daily to make yourself feel a little better. Wouldn't that be nice?
Maybe. I like that you sound like my friend Prison Planet.
Sherlock Gnomes isn't sexy enough.
I think Sherlock Gnomes is plenty sexy.
Oh, man. What I was saying is the most horrifying image in this episode is when Armus, which is the name of this internet troll, spits up like part of Riker's face, and it's just this like detailless mask.
Oh, it's fucking
bone chilling. Totally bone chilling.
Dude, I'm sorry, but like Riker's got that dude in his mouth a little bit. So he's bringing him, right?
You're going to shit part of that dude back out, guaranteed. And then he's on board.
Exactly. Oh, pretty nice jigs. Must be nice to have this much money.
But so yeah, whatever. But yeah, Picard comes down to bargain for Riker's life. Right? That's what's going on here?
Pretty much, but then he really starts fucking taking it to this dude because he's doing the whole like, again, it's another way to render trolls powerless. It's just like, dude,
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just like
take Riker, kill him, I don't give a shit.
The robot? Fine. He's a toy. Fuck it.
Well, that's because he starts controlling Data. It's like, I'm going to make you kill yourself, kill Captain, kill whatever.
Data starts getting the upper hand right here because he's like, wouldn't you feel bad if you killed your captain? And Data is just like schooling this thing like, no, because you're controlling me, so it technically wouldn't be me killing my captain. It would be you. Stupid.
Data, what the fuck?
You're gonna fucking blow the spot up, man. Take it easy.
All right, this is totally not going in the report, man.
Shoot yourself, Data.
There's also a thing here where the goop is also making some sort of energy field, so sure. Like they can't beam Troy out, yes. They can't beam anybody out or whatever. So it's also like this distraction stuff is like, it's distracting the monster from keeping the shield up kind of a thing. Yeah. So like Picard really starts taking it to this motherfucker. They get Troy out, everybody gets beamed out or whatever, and then it's just Picard and this dude. Mm. And he's like, fuck you. I'm not taking you off shit.
Well, that's
and
thing
just
like,
beams out.
Because that's the thing is like, well there's some nonsense going on with Wesley and Worf. It's like, if it gets to 2.6 megalixels, it'll blah, 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 blah.
Jesus, dude. The two words for that fucking shit. Deleted scenes. Nobody fucking cares about your calculations.
I guess the idea is when he gets so upset and gets so horned up,
right.
He loses control of his magic. Yeah. That way it allows the beam to get through.
Yes.
But yeah, this thing's like, oh, yeah, man. No. The car's coming, dude. Oh, my Uber driver. He says he's... Oh, weird. It said 3 minutes ago. It's now 4 minutes, but I promise it'll be here in a minute.
Looking for Fernando.
Has anyone seen a black Nissan?
No, it's 6642C, not that 665.
You didn't do the pool, did you?
Oh, fuck, I hate riding with strangers.
No, that's a Chrysler. Stop even trying to help.
So he zips off, and the best part is, it's kind of a great thing where, like, Picard, you see a blaster go off to this surface, and you're like, oh, shit, he just killed him, and then he's like, well, I just destroyed the cruiser, so he won't be going anywhere.
Right, which is kind of awesome, because it's like, rot your loneliness, internet troll fucker.
And then it's just like, Picard's just like, and by the way, that planet is blocked. Federation knows now no one can go there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, orange cones are going to go around it? Like, what's going to happen?
This is the part where I think like the Prime Directive, fuck that, blow this shit up.
Oh, yeah. That's
fucking surface-to-air missile.
I imagine he just goes and he's like, let the payload go.
Exactly.
The payload.
Just don't put it on the report. It jostled free.
Tasha Yar says hello.
Oh, yes!
See, that would be good.
That would be,
instead, we get that lame ass funeral where she was like,
fucking God,
if you were seeing this video, I've died and you're in a Star Trek movie. Here are the rules.
So you find yourself at the end of a Star Trek episode.
I was waiting for the dead guy from Blind Melon to start dancing over the hill. Good Lord.
That guy did not do a holodeck video before he died, sadly. He didn't have the foresight. I have a few. It's all like, if you're seeing this, I've died on the toilet. what I was doing in there was none of your business.
The point is, I'm dead. And yes, it was embarrassing.
My laptop is still a private space. Even in my death.
I gotta tell you, cut to me last night watching this episode. This shit... I was kind of getting a little choked up through part of it. She addresses
each and every one.
The main cast one by one. We get to Data.
There's some like fucking lowly, again, that ensign is like, oh, wait, they're just going, can I?
Oh, it's a private funeral? Well, you know, Yar was my partner in the martial arts tournament. I can't go in. I heard her talking about me.
Get out.
I don't need randos in this funeral.
This is a
closed door memorial service, mister. Don't you have a shift to get to?
Worf has nobody to talk fighty with.
Do you really want to make a stink?
And like some of them are, you know, whatever. Like, oh, Wesley, you'll grow into a man or something. Fine, I don't really know you. That's okay. She gets to Data and she's like, Mr. Data,
my friend, and I started kind of breaking.
You
and when she starts,
nothing.
Dude, when she starts addressing Picard, I was just crying.
Oh,
I was,
really?
I was crying in this very chair you're looking at, watching this last night, just crying
just,
at Star Trek.
Just a stunning, stark indifference.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched all of her episodes now, and I've felt nothing.
Well, because they use her poorly.
Yes.
I mean, like, but I do like, so they're going around. I do like she goes to Worf. She's like, I died with my eyes open like a warrior. He's like, oh, fuck, I'm
God. Now I'm hard at a funeral.
Oh, awesome. Captain, could I get a copy of that funeral tape to masturbate to?
Of course, buddy.
It's just this, like, solemn thing, and she's talking, and he's like, ah!
And then Data's just like, I don't think I got it, Captain. Wait, I feel sad that she's not here to entertain me like usual.
Oh, Data, you've made the funeral about you, which is the most human thing of all. You have come to a funeral for someone else and found a way
to make it about you. You took a selfie in front of a coffin. That is the equivalent of what you just did. Well, and congratulations.
Hashtag RIP Grandma.
Well, Data, unlike Worf, you cannot get violently horny. So you must deal with it in your own way.
The only one I wasn't, like, Wesley whatever, Beverly whatever. Yeah. Deanna's is a nice
one.
She's
just sort of like, Beverly, you were nice.
Yeah, Beverly, you're a trained doctor.
Well, the best thing is that she goes, and Riker, you're the best. It's just sort
Will
of like that.
Riker, you're the best.
Yeah.
Also not crying at that. But what's the most fucked up one, though, is goddamn Geordi's, where she's making sight puns.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's just like, Geordi LaForge, you taught me to look around and appreciate things in a different way. You helped me see different perspectives. And I'm like, dude, come on.
I'm glad my fucking disability was enlightening to you.
Geordi, you were a living joke to me. Honestly,
you'll
just like
never
every
find
day.
Happiness.
And I mean, you, wheelchair guy down in engineering, you were always a ball.
He always seemed to be on a roll.
Exactly.
Well, but I mean, is there any other blind person? We've seen billions of people. I've never seen another blind person in Star Trek.
No, not a one.
Not a one.
When she fucking says that Picard has the heart of an explorer, Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you guys. Both of these episodes are awesome.
I want to know what you think of who wins.
Well, quick thing. Deanna is the only one crying, and it says on the thing, it's like, oh, because she was really good friends with Denise Crosby. No. She's the only actor, aside from Picard, who can't cry in this scene, who could get there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody else is like, oh, yeah. Like, you think no one else is going to start.
I'll tell you what, though. I think, I mean, he couldn't because he's a great warrior, but it looked like Dorne could get there.
He could get there, sure.
Denise was fine.
Oh, we were all right.
So, Eric Sisk, you want to know what I think? I still think.
Because you like this episode more than me, I can tell that.
I did, but I still think TOS wins. It's a more historic episode.
It's not even a discussion, I feel.
Yeah.
You are such a fucking heartless prick. It is unbelievable,
it
Chris
is
Gavin.
It is a discussion for me.
It's for one reason. It's all for one reason.
TOS
one
sweeps.
Reason
TOS sweeps.
Because TNG has me.
I liked that
30 minutes.
I found that guy quite enlightening, to be quite honest. I don't know.
The internet troll?
Yeah, I honestly like. I was like, oh wow, it's kind of it's a weird thing about like
how useless
rage is. It just sits there and stews and does nothing.
And that's the thing. I think it's a thing where like the stuff that's interesting like that in this episode gets overshadowed because they killed off a main character in it
unceremoniously.
And that's like what everybody remembers about this episode. Like I saw someone was like on Twitter, like, oh, you're doing Skin of You, the worst episode of TOS. I was like, what have you seen? Six of them?
Yeah.
First of all. But like everybody remembers this episode for like, oh, the goo thing kills Yar. But there is so much about that. Like it's fucking pointless to hold grudges and like let go of whatever. Like it gets very Star Trek-y once you get through the goop.
And I think, I mean, it's Skin of, it's Space Seed by a mile. Yeah. I mean, but I do
like
this.
It's not a bad
episode.
No, it's not. I didn't mean to be that dismissive of it. It's just TOS.
Space Seed wins.
A classic character is born in Space Seed.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. And the goop is not classic.
Do you think that is it a weird thing, like, how excellent Wrath of Khan is informing our opinion about that?
I think a little bit. I would say a little bit, but yes.
I'll be honest. I completely forget Wrath of Khan. And that's that a was real like, and so when I was watching this, like, I was commanded by the performance.
Sure,
right,
sure.
Right.
Like, he's just,
he is
very
great. It's not that he's not great.
He immediately knew what the character was.
I get
clearly.
What you're saying about looking back on it, but I feel like Wrath of Khan wouldn't have been great without this being great.
Yeah, so, no, I think true. That's totally fair. And that is the August Nexus. Thank you so much for continuing to support our Patreon. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Chris Cabin,
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.